السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له، وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات، وإنما لامرئ ما نوى، فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله، ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Ulama-i Kiram, most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are listening over receivers or streaming. We have just completed the great ibadah, an act of qurbani. And we do know, and we have heard over and over again from the various speakers, that every single act of worship that has been ordained and stipulated upon us, then there are great wisdoms and hikmah attached to these rulings and laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, it is not necessary for us to understand and to know every single wisdom behind the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. Man's logic, man's intelligence is a created entity. Allah Ta'ala is the creator. Ulama-i Kiram explain that where man's intelligence ends, that is where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's intelligence commences. So man cannot fully understand and comprehend the injunctions and the commands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. However, there will most certainly be some form of hikmah and command and wisdom behind every single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that this great act of qurbani that we had undertaken, that Allah ta'ala gave us the tawfiq and ability to undertake, there were many, many lessons and many reasons why we had to do it. It is important for us, respected elders and brothers, to ensure that this ibadah and these acts of worship do not remain and are not confined to merely some form of custom. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا اسْمُهُ وَلَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That a time will dawn upon my ummah when nothing will be left of Islam except the name of Islam, and nothing will be left of the Quran Sharif except the script of the Quran Sharif. In other words, respected elders and brothers, the spirit of Islam will not be alive. The spirit of the Quran Sharif and the practical implementation of the Quran Sharif will not be evident and prevalent in the individual's life. Hence, it is important for us that even when we undertook this qurbani, that spirit of qurbani should have been revived within our hearts. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the tawfiq to revive that spirit of sacrificing our evil desires, our whims and our fancies, in fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another very important lesson, respected elders and brothers, which may be linked to this act of qurbani, is the aspect, respected elders and brothers, of sincerity. And especially when we give a talk in this particular masjid, then we cannot help it but recall and remember our late Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Nawarallahu Marqadahu, who for many, many years stood from this very platform and would repeat these same lessons over and over and over again. It is even more important for us, respected elders and brothers, to implement these lessons now than what it was then. So, respected elders and brothers, this aspect, respected brothers and sisters, of sincerity, which our late Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah used to say is the missing ingredient. It is the missing ingredient in all our activities. We find that we have an explosion of knowledge. And again, I'm quoting Hazrat. We didn't have these opportunities that we have now. A person with a click of a button is able to access thousands of pieces of information. With a click of a button, the person is able to download kitabs upon kitabs. There are certain programs that people have where there are sometimes up to 10 to 15,000 different kitabs. And the person, if you ask him, he said, I've read the whole Bukhari and the whole Muslim and the whole Abu Dawood Sharif. There's an explosion of knowledge. But the question is, respected elders and brothers, why are we not seeing the change? Sometimes a person may even make the claim that I even have more knowledge than what some of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. Some of them sat in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were illiterate. They couldn't read, they couldn't write. But the reality is, respected elders and brothers, there was something that they received directly from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which then leads to our belief in aqeedah that the greatest wali of Allah cannot be equal to that sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who would be regarded as the lowest in rank. That one few moments in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu, of course it was that nur of nubuwa, the greatest after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fortunate companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the good fortune of sitting in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from heart to heart there was a transferal that took place. Jis qalb ki aahon ne dil phoonk diya laako, us qalb mein ya Allah kya aag lagi hogi. The poet says that heart that was able to light up the flame of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of thousands of hearts. Hundreds of thousands of hearts in Hajjatul Wida. 124,000 Sahaba-i-Kiram. Their hearts had been lit up with the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that spirit to sacrifice their blood, their lives, their wealth for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine the heart that lit up those hearts. What kind of a fire of love of Allah was burning in that heart? And that was none other than the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Sahaba-i-Kiram were able to absorb from that heart. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, today we find, including myself, we are giving these talks. But why is there no effect? The person will stand up and Maulana gave a very good talk, very pertinent points. He was able to relate to current issues. It was very good. He was very eloquent. He was able to express himself very well. And the speaker too said, MashaAllah, the people seem to have been listening very well. But after that, there's no change. No one has changed their lives. The speaker hasn't changed his life. Those who are listening haven't changed their lives. That missing ingredient, respected elders and brothers, that missing ingredient of sincerity and ikhlas. This is the very foundation upon which many of the muhaddithin, the mufassireen, when they would commence their kitabs, when they would commence any action and activity, then they would remind themselves, sincerity, sincerity, sincerity. Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullah used to say it so beautifully, used to say, do for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give you from His treasure. Today we find, respected elders and brothers, as we had mentioned, explosion of knowledge. One website, another three websites pop up, and another six websites. One organization and another organization and 10 organizations. One madrasa, another two madrasas and 5 madrasas. Alhamdulillah, this is good. But we find there's no change. Sometimes we find that those individuals, and this is a generalization, we are not pinpointing any particular individual, that we find that those who are starting these organizations, there's some ulterior motive. Sometimes the person couldn't function in a particular organization, he decided, right, I'll show them. Let me show them what I can do. I'll show them that my organization can be better than their organization. And then the person is always concerned. And how many people in those organizations? Just go and check how many people went for that event. Or that particular person gave the bayan. How many people were present there for his bayan? It's across the board, respected elders and brothers. The person who's delivering the talk is delivering it instead of inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is inviting towards himself. Those who are organizing that particular event, sometimes the slogan is in the name of Islam. That slogan is there just to catch the people. And we use the name of Islam so we can get more money. The motive is money. We'll bring this particular guest speaker down, so that he will give a talk, we'll get more people coming to the event, so that we can get more money. So the purpose of bringing that speaker to that particular event was not to benefit the people. The objective was to derive some money. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so beautifully in the hadith that innamal a'malu bin niyyat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks the languages of the heart. We can hide from every single person, but we can never hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مَعْهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Every single person you can hide from. You can hide from that. You can hide things from every single person. But that which is in the deepest recess of your heart, Allah is away. So Allah ta'ala knows exactly what the motives are. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just to give some history, Sahaba-i-Kiram were migrating towards Madinatul Munawwara. They were facing difficulties in Makkatul Mukarrama. To practice their deen became challenging. They were tortured. Some of them were assassinated. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave permission for the Sahaba to migrate towards from Makkatul Mukarrama towards Madinah Sharif. When they migrated, they left everything behind. They had to leave their wealth behind. Whatever they just could carry on their backs, that's all they could take. The purpose of their migration and the hijrah was so that they could practice the deen of Islam. So they could worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, in the back of the mind they had that probably we'll have to earn something as well. We'll have to survive. But that was something which was by the way. The real goal and the real purpose and the real objective of making that hijrah was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and nothing else. There was one particular sahabi who was interested in a particular girl, a woman in Madinatul Munawwara, and he put the proposal forward. She accepted, but the condition was that you must migrate, you must also make this hijrah to Madina Sharif. He agreed and he also participated in this hijrah, in this migration. Upon this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah sent wahi to him. We know that every single statement that emanated from the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was nothing but wahi. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَىٰ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the declaration which will last till the day of Qiyamah. And this is something that we should keep in front of us all the time. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Actions are dependent and are judged, and the criterion for the acceptance of that action is based on the intentions. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam contextualized it and elaborated as an example that had taken place in front of the very eyes, that فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that sahabi who has made hijrah for Allah and His Rasul, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that hijrah is for Allah and His Rasul. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى dunya, and that person who has made hijrah for some worldly gain, or to get married to a woman, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَجْرَ إِلَيْهِ. He hasn't done something haram, but his hijrah is for getting married. That is the purpose of his hijrah is not for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, this is something that, a lesson in Qurbani that we learn. That everything we do should be solely, especially when it comes to our ibadah. And for that matter, every single action that we do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that Allah ta'ala does not accept that action that is done for other than Him. The person comes to the masjid and his intention is to, for some kind of name and fame. The person holds a particular program or commences a particular institute for some ulterior motive, to gain some form of recognition in the community. And sometimes the person advertises his activities, that let's make a big poster, an advert, and show them what we are doing. We are not saying that everyone is doing that, that's the reason. I'm just giving a particular example of a particular situation, that this person makes a particular poster with the intention, and we don't know what's the next person's intentions, but he makes the intention that I need to show the donors, I need to show the donors what work we're doing so that they give more money. So now the person increases his activities so that he can gain more revenue. So his activities are devoid of any reward in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wants that that action must be done solely and only for His pleasure and none but Him. And this, respected elders and brothers, can extend in every single aspect and facet of our lives. That sometimes we are having a family gathering, and that family gathering, the intention should be, or we make the intention, or we're uniting the family, we want to unite the family. But the real motive behind it, the person is, I want to show everyone how much wealth I have. I need to show them. So this walima function, we need to lay it out. We need to show everyone how much of wealth. See, his walima function, this is how much he spent, so I'll double it. I'll triple it. So that whole walima function, instead of generating unity in the family, we find that after that walima function or after the nikah, there's more disunity in the family. There's more fights and quarrels and arguments afterwards. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, we find that the ulama-i kiram, our pious elders, they would do a small action, but they would do it with such sincerity, with such ikhlas, that sometimes that action would be so simple. It would be so simple, but the effect of that action would last sometimes for generations. Generations upon generations, that action would last. The sincerity behind which that action would start. Ulama-i kiram explained that the word niyat comes from nawa. And nawa is a seed. And they elaborate that the higher the quality of the seed, the better the outcome and the fruit that will come out from that particular tree. In the same way, respected elders, the more pure our action is, the more pure our intentions are, that we are giving this charity to this particular masjid solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll quote something I heard directly from our late Aziz Mawlana Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayh. MashaAllah, there's some collections taking place for the masjid, the mind goes there. So Hazrat had mentioned that when he did the collection or was involved in the collection of this particular masjid initially when they had commenced the extension. So alhamdulillah, Hazrat said that they had not gone out for any form of collection. Ulama-i kiram explained that even those who are involved in doing collection for any organization or any masjid or any madrasa, then they are three conditions attached to those collection. Otherwise, some ulama-i kiram explained that the money then that is derived without these three conditions are questionable. So the first condition is that izzat-e nafs, that the person when he is doing that collection of that money, he should not humiliate himself in the process. We find sometimes the donor and the collector goes and he goes to such an extent that people start looking down upon him. Look at this person, oh, here's he coming again. And now they start looking down upon that collector. So the person has to maintain his own respect. And the second condition is azmat-e deen, that the respect of deen must always remain. That sometimes eventually the person carries on collecting and forcing his way, that the person starts looking down upon the madrasas and the masjids, or that masjid again needs money, or that madrasa again needs money. And tib-e khatir is the third condition, is that when the person is giving that money, the donor, he should give it with a clean heart, without any hardness in the heart or reservation within the heart. And then as it explained, he said that sometimes you find that when we go door to door, sometimes you'll find particular masajid, they'll put a particular person who is very influential in the community. That you are quite influential in the community, so you do the collection. Because you can get the money out of people. So they'll use him. So now you find that that person goes to his friend, his associate, he has an informal relationship with him. And perhaps this person has already given money to another four organizations. But now you have come at his door. And now you say, listen, the masjid now, they require a certain amount of money. So, how much are you giving? Nothing less than 50,000 from you. So now the person says, well, and he knows in his mind that he's already reached his budget. He can't spend anything more. But now he thinks to himself that, look, if I don't give, he's going to get upset with me. So let me just give. So now the intention of giving has changed. And that money, as it explained, that money is not being given with an open heart. The person is giving that money with a closed heart. One person came to Hazrat's office and explained that, Hazrat, you know, when we come to Masjid al-Nur, then we find there's a different feeling. It's from Johannesburg. There's a different kayfiyat. The person feels a different ruhaniyat and nuraniyat. And this, Hazrat mentioned, this is one of the reasons that whatever funds were collected, generally, the majority of it was collected in such a way that no one was forced. So he said, now the person gives that money, but he hasn't given it with an open heart. And then Hazrat explained that on so many occasions, Allah Ta'ala showed us, he says here on one occasion, for the carpets, that bill came to over 200,000 it was, if I remember the figure correctly. So Hazrat mentioned some of the trustees came to him and said, Hazrat, now tomorrow the payment is due, what are we going to do? I said, no problem, we make one announcement. So Hazrat, we stood up, made an announcement, and those who recall Hazrat, he would make a very soft announcement. The brothers, masjid, put it on the board there, and finish. Whoever wants to give, give, finish. So he said that same day after Asr, one brother came to him, a foreign brother. He said he wasn't even dressed in a really elaborate manner. So I said, when I looked at him, I thought nothing of him. And so he gave me, he says, I'd like to contribute towards the masjid. So I said, no problem, the box is there, go put it in the box. So he said, no, I'd like to give it directly to you. So he said, no problem, it's the check. So as I said, I just took the check, folded it, put it in my pocket. And then when I met one of the trustees, I said, here. So he says, the trustee opened the check and said, Maulana, you know how much is here? He said, 40,000. And he says, like that, somebody else came, a brother from Mauritius, who had listened in those days, as if you had cassettes, cassette players. He said he listened to some of the cassettes and he changed his life. His entire family changed their lives and he indebted to Hazrat. He says he came specially to meet Hazrat. He says, here's a gift for you. So he said, look, I don't know you. I don't just accept gifts from someone I don't know. But if you want to, the masjid is busy with some project, you can give it towards the masjid. So he said, no, I'd like to give it directly to you. You can give it to the masjid. He came to the house. He said, over 100,000 rands. And he says, within a short period of time, Allah Ta'ala sent that entire amount. So of course, that is the caliber of the personality who was making those collections. But respected elders and brothers, today we can do the same thing. It is renewing our intentions and doing solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Putting our gaze on the unlimited treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is looking at a certain wealthy person, but is forgetting the person who is more powerful than that wealthy person. The giver of that wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes Allah ta'ala will test the individual. Allah ta'ala will test the individual first, nothing will come. And then suddenly the person perseveres and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open those doors. So therefore, respected elders and brothers, the lesson of Qurbani, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. That every single, the gist of that ayat, and every single act of ibadah and worship that the person engages in should be solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we need to renew. Those who are involved in the khidmat of deen, those who are serving others, those who are involved in some kind of activity or work, let your intention be only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The aspect of the intentions, respected elders and brothers, there is a discussion with regards to that. That one is the intention that a person can make and has to make in every form of ibadah. For example, our salah, our qurbani, our hajj. That can only be done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and none but Him. But then you have the mundane activities. For example, a person goes to work. A person, for example, goes to sleep at night. Those are regarded as mundane activities. But with the correct intention, those mundane activities can also be turned into ibadah. There's a famous incident of a particular individual who had done some alteration in his home. He fitted a window in his room. So his sheikh asked him that, you're busy with some alterations in your home, what are you doing? He said, no, I fitted a window in my room. So he said, what intention you made when you fitted the window? So he said, well, my intention was so that sunlight and ventilation can come into the room. So he says, you should have made this intention that the sound of adhan could enter my room. And then that window would have given you thawab. So a mundane activity, something which would be regarded as mundane. The person helped somebody pick up a parcel. But if he did it with this intention, that let me help this non-Muslim person, this elderly person who's picking up the packets, Let me help him so that it's a da'wah towards Islam. Now that action of picking up the packets will inshallah give you thawab, and who knows, Allah Ta'ala may accept your intention and make that action a means of thawab, a means of hidayat for that individual. So we just do not know the potential and the power of every single activity that we have. It is just, respected elders and brothers, a change of our intention within our hearts. Let us remove people from our hearts. Remove people from our hearts. Keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. You're going to fix your gaze on people, respected elders and brothers, is always going to lead to disappointment. It is always, inevitably is going to lead to disappointment. And it leads to the example behind the incident of the quote of Hazrat Mu'anis Sahib rahmatullah, a certain person in Mauritius, a youngster, he said, he came to Maulana to complain, that look Maulana, you know, I do so much for my parents. I'm looking after them, I'm doing this for them, I'm doing that for them, etc., etc. But my brother who lives kilometers away, he comes once in 4 months, and he comes and he visits, but he's the blue-eyed boy. He's everything. I'm non-existent. So Hazrat told him, do me a favor, I want you to engrave in your heart. Engrave this in your heart, do for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give you from His treasure. Why is the person feeling disappointed? Why is he feeling that way? It is because he's expecting some kind of vote of thanks from his parents. He's expecting something in return. Now when he didn't get it, now he's feeling helpless, he's feeling hopeless. But had the person just merely changed his intention, that I'm doing it for Allah Ta'ala. Allah saw my action. Allah saw what I did. Do I need anyone else to acknowledge it? Do I need to advertise my actions to the entire world for it to be acceptable? No, the person does it for Allah. Nothing misses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's system of recording is absolutely perfect. Nothing misses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, respected elders and brothers, a very valuable lesson that we learn from this aspect of Qurbani is that do for Allah's pleasure. If you look at the incident of Ibrahim ala Nabiyyina alayhi salatu wa salam, together with total submission to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was the aspect of sincerity. That sincerity, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam had absolutely no idea that Ismail alayhi salam would, a ram would come in place. His intention was solely for the pleasure of Allah, that I am fulfilling the command of Allah without any payment. Nothing. I'm going to lose out in the process. That sincerity, respected elders and brothers, if it comes into our actions, then inshallah we will see the effect and power. It is like the example of a bullet, respected elders and brothers. If that bullet is held in the fingers and thrown at the opponent, so yes, it is a bullet, but it'll have absolutely no effect. But take that same bullet and place it in the barrel of a firearm, and then press the trigger, and now see the effect of that bullet. This is the same with our a'mal and our actions. Perform that salah with the real intention and ikhlas for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do whatever you are doing in your workplace for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now see the effect of it. An incident that happened in the life of Hazrat Mu'anis Sahib rahmatullah alayh in the then Jan Smuts Airport, now O.R. Tambo, where his baggage was put through the counter and it happened to have been overweight. So the person said, look, you are overweight. And they were coming from Pakistan and the local allowance was less than the international allowance. So I said, but look, quietly, he told him, look, if you give me something, we'll put it through. So Maulana told the person that, look, tell him that as Muslims, bribery is not permissible. Whatever can go through, go through. Whatever can't, we keep it behind. There's some brothers from Johannesburg, they'll bring it sometime later. And then Hazrat went and took some water, sat down and drank the water. But you see now, this is an individual who's doing everything for Allah's pleasure. And now see the effect. This person was fixated on Hazrat. He was captivated by Hazrat's personality. He immediately stopped his work. He came out. He says, tell me, you are Muslim. Tell me about Islam. Hazrat gave him a 20-minute explanation of Islam, and there and then in the airport, he recited the Shahada and accepted Islam. Respected elders and brothers, we too have that potential. Do not underestimate ourselves. Allah has given us hearts. Change our intentions. Whatever we're doing, do it for Allah's pleasure. And then see the effect. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to purify our actions, to purify our a'mal, to purify every single act of worship that we are involved in. And do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Acceptance is based on this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that kind of acceptance and maqbooliyat. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah and spread that unity within our families and within the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.